North of the main temple, we pointed out the Pool of Bethesda, right? Actually, that model changed what is really there, that is the Sheep Gate. If you notice, the wall was straight down towards the temple, and they left out the Sheep Gate. We know from the Bible it was at the Sheep Gate. But what they have found here are, again, structures built over the original site. But this is the site of the original Pool of Bethesda. Apparently some sort of mineral spring water. It was constantly rotating and then quiet, and then coming again and then quiet. And people believe that if you could put a sick person in there, they would be healed. So that's a part of the story. And now Teiko will continue the lecture. Oh, no, I'm sorry. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. What is the meaning of the word Beth?
House.
And the last part of it is the word for mercy. House of mercy. Chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Yeshua went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. I'll comment about that particular statement of the angel in just a moment. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Yeshua saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Yeshua saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. He took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Shabbat, the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said, in the book of John, whenever you read the Jews, it is not speaking of the common people. In fact, you can easily point that out if you gather all the references together. It refers to the scribes and Pharisees and leaders, primarily the rulers of the Sanhedrin, whenever you read the Jews. We know in the Bible that the common people heard him gladly. They were really excited over Yeshua and his ministry. The religious leaders were threatened. It is at the Pool of Bethesda where the hostility began and never subsided, because he healed on the Sabbath. Let me finish this, and then we'll talk about it. The Jews, meaning Jewish leaders, therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Yeshua had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Yeshua findeth him in the temple. That's just a few feet from us. The temple area, not at the holy place. He said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews, the leaders, that it was Yeshua which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, Yeshua, and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Shabbat, on the Sabbath day. Now, I'm going to share about seven things with an hour for each. No, seriously, seven things that I think are significant here. One would be the circumstances behind this miracle. For instance, a place. What a place to do it. The House of Mercy. It really doesn't matter whether any healing took place. We got therapeutic waters all over America with spas and all kinds of places where you can go and supposedly get healed. I noticed the advertisement of Wai Mu Tea, Chinese tea. I have no desire to offend the Chinese. After all, God loves them more than any of us. He made so many of them. But that was a complete scam. I don't know if you read the paper about a week ago. Total scam. And people bought it by the thousands, or maybe more. And some guys made a lot of money. Well, we don't know what went on here. It was therapeutic water. And if you've ever been in a jacuzzi, it feels like you're being healed. The second thing that is the circumstance here is the pool itself. If you look at your Bible carefully in chapter 5, the last phrase of verse 3, waiting for the moving of the water, and all of verse 4 lacks manuscript evidence. But the interesting thing to me is verse 7 is reliable and is in the text. When he said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. He was impotent. The Greek word is asthenos. It means he has no strength or ability. Was he experiencing the results of a stroke? Was he disabled in some way? We really don't know. Except that he laid by this pool for 38 years. The people themselves around this pool. I find that interesting. Verse 3 says a great multitude of impotent folk, meaning they had no ability to recover. By the way, what would you do if you ran into somebody today who had no ability physically, it seemed, to recover? Did you know the same exact word is used in James 5 when it says, is anyone depressed or emotionally stressed? Let him sing psalms. If you're weak, pray. But if you are impotent or without strength, let him call for the elders of the church who will pray over him, anointing him with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. How interesting that the great multitude of people here, all of them unable in themselves to get healed. But the Lord cared about him. And the Lord showed up. I love that. And that leads me to the second most important thing here, the compassion of our Lord Yeshua. Apparently, not too many people cared for this guy. He'd been there a long time. You would think at least a couple of them could help him or at least shove him into the pool. But nobody seemed to care. But our Lord did. The Bible says he was in all points tested like as we are, yet without sin, but that he sympathizes with our weaknesses and our inability to have any strength or ability. Sometimes we forget that when we're going through hard times. But the Lord does care. One of the best-selling books of all time in America was a very strange one, written by a Jewish rabbi whose son had aging disease, progeria. Rabbi Harold Kushner from Boston. And he wrote a book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Maybe you bought it. Millions of Americans did. It was about the book of Job. And what happened was that he went on talk shows. I remember seeing them with his boy who looked like he was 90 years old. He was only 18. And asked people all over America to pray for his son that he would be healed. His son was not healed and he died. Rabbi Kushner wrote the book based on the teaching of Job, which he completely missed. Here's what he said. If God has the power to heal my son and will not do it, I don't want to live with a God like that who doesn't care. But he said, if God really cares and has compassion but doesn't have the ability to heal my son, I can live with somebody who at least cares about me. That was the thesis of the book, and millions of Americans bought it. It's still one of the best-selling books of all time. Why? Because it hit a nerve. But that message watered down the ability of God to heal anybody. So a skepticism grew. So the only people walking around healing people are these healers having big meetings and making almost an entertainment business out of it. And so we've lost our understanding of what God told us to do. If someone really is beyond medical help, what do you do? Now, if you have the flu or the cold, don't call the elders of the church, come pray for you. That isn't the text. The text is somebody who has no ability to recover. And they are anointed with oil, the oil representing God's power, certainly not ours. And the prayer of faith, literally it's the faith, the prayer according to what God's word has revealed, will heal that person. Now the question is, David, have you ever seen anyone healed instantaneously by being anointed with oil? And the answer is yes, I have. I've seen miracles. My favorite one was the person who was healed was on our Holy Land trip. She and her family. This girl's name is Miriam. And her father and mother are dear friends of mine. They're Argentinians. She had spinal meningitis, and she was in the final stages, dying in the hospital. They invited the family to come. The family invited me to come to pray for her. I walked into a room with 38 people in the room, and the doctors and nurses saying, "Who are you?" I said, "Well, I'm here to pray." They said, "Well, hurry up. She's dying." Well, if she's dying, I don't need to hurry. You know, I was getting a little ticked at their attitude. So we anointed another pastor and I, we anointed her by just putting a little oil on her forehead. She's dying. She was not responding. And the doctor's looking at me saying, "What is in there?" I said, "It's just olive oil." "What, it's going to heal her?" I said, "No, it's more what it represents." And at that point, because of his attitude, something came over me. I knew, you know what, I bet God's going to heal this girl. Right in front of all these doctors and nurses. So anyway, I prayed. I said, "Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you can heal impotent folk. You did it at the Pool of Bethesda, and I know you can do it again. So if it be your will, just to show all these medical personnel here who are questioning what I'm doing, please," I said it out loud, of course, so they could hear. And I said, "Please, just heal her right now." She immediately jumped up in the bed and said, "I'm healed." The doctor pushed her back down and says, "See what you do? Your kind of people are terrible." And I said, "Okay, doctor, there's only one way to find out. Take her down and give her the exams right now." "Well, I can't do that." I said, "Sure you can. Here's her parents. Ask them." They said, "Yeah, let's take her down there." He took her down there. They found no trace of spinal meningitis whatsoever. When he came back wheeling her in a wheelchair, I'm standing at the door waiting.
Yeah.
And I got my brains. And he saw me. He shoved a wheelchair with a girl in it. She almost had to jump out herself, and he turned around and ran the other way to stay away from me. I've had a lot of conversation with that doctor in the years since. And he says himself, he said, "I've never seen anything like that in my life. I don't know how you did that." I said, "I didn't do it." He said, well, you must have an ability to pray. It's so funny. The second time I ever ran into him, same hospital, a grandfather is dying of this family, and they called me and wanted me to come see him. And so I came in, the family's all there, and there's that doctor again standing up. He said, oh no, you're going to anoint him? I said, well, I don't know, let's ask him. So I asked him, he said, I don't want to be anointed. He said, I want to die right now. I said, well, whenever the Lord, no, now. I said, what do you mean now? He said, I want you to pray that I die. I want this doctor to see what God's power is all about. I want to die during your prayer. I thought, oh, great. He thought I was a wacko last time. What's he going to think this time? So I prayed and I started out and said, Lord, we want your will. He squeezed my hand and said, no, none of that will stuff. I want to die right now. And the doctor's looking at me, folding his arms, saying, well, this is interesting. And so I prayed and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but if you want to take him home right now, just go ahead and do it. And this is what we heard. He was gone. Everybody opened their eyes. The doctor looked across the bed and said, remind me that when I'm sick in a hospital, not to call on you to pray for me. You know, that's happened to me 3 times. I pray for people that want to be healed and they died during my prayer. So any of you want me to pray afterwards, let me know. But it was compassion in the heart of Yeshua that came to this guy. 38 years. The concern for this man, he says, there's no one who will help me. No one, no one, no one. It rings in my ear. The command of our Lord was simple. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Why did he say take up your bed, which is, by the way, just a pallet like a rug? Why did he say that? Because he knew they would question him about the Sabbath. He didn't have to pick it up. You could buy him anywhere. So why did he say pick it up and walk? Because he knew they would think he violated the Sabbath. Now, did he violate the Sabbath? The answer is no. Why? Because this comes from Nehemiah, and they still do it today. In Nehemiah, they forbid them from carrying wares into the city to buy and sell on the Sabbath day. It is not a condemnation of carrying anything. It is a condemnation of buying and selling on the Sabbath day. So it set up the confrontation, you understand, between Yeshua and a religiosity that was far from God. I just love this story. Anyway, the consequence, of course, was the man was healed. Then he's roaming around, he doesn't know who it was who healed him. The Jewish leaders, I love this. Don't you know it's unlawful to carry a bed on a Sabbath day? I mean, who do you think you are? The guy's healed 38 years. Not one word of saying, oh, praise the Lord, you're healed. No, they're ticked off because he's carrying a little mat. By the way, if a donkey falls into a ditch on the Sabbath day, according to the law of God, you can go get it out. It's an act of mercy. What's the name of this place? House of
Mercy.
Mercy. The challenge of our Lord Yeshua to this man was, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now I know that the problem in a man's life, not everybody, but the problem in his life was a pattern of sinning that led to his impotency. Does that mean everybody who's sick sins? No. When Jesus healed the blind man, his parents said in John 9, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither, but that the works of God would be manifest in him. So not everyone is sick because they sinned. But let's turn that around. Are there examples of people who become ill because of a pattern of sinning and rejection and rebellion in their life? Absolutely. Paul wrote some are weak, some are sick, and some even dead because of it, because they refuse to repent. So be careful. Now, does that mean that anybody who's sick, there's something wrong with them? No. No, as a matter of fact, one person who was really sick, whom God used, was the Apostle Paul. And he taught us to glory in our infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. You say, oh, that means the power to heal me. No, it doesn't. It means the power to sustain you while you still experience the pain. And that's something a lot of us haven't learned. That's the story of the book of Job. And what did Job learn? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the latter end of Job was twice blessed as he was formerly. We need to understand that. Yet all his friends came and told him something that sounds good, but was not true. And he said, miserable comforters are you all. You ever had friends like that? Here's where we know the Lord had compassion. And here's where the hostility began. And the issue, was it overhealing? No, it was not. If you think that, you're going to misunderstand. It was all because of what happened on the Sabbath day. So the Sabbath day had been exalted among the religious leaders above the Lord himself. Interesting, isn't it? Could the Sabbath day become more important today than even the Lord? Oh, it's possible. In the legalism of our religiosity today, that's easy to do. We Jews are real good at it. But so are Gentiles. We need to be careful. I think in our hearts there needs to be what Lamentations says. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. This is the house of mercy. And here's where it all started, the hostility. And we're going to see before we're done what they did to Jesus. Going to be a little hard for you to take. I'm warning you ahead of time. But again, the truth will set you free. Christ suffered for us, says the Bible. We need to find out what that means. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you. We could be in this place of historical significance and right where our Lord healed this man and all the trouble started. God, how we thank you that we have a compassionate Savior. He saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion. But he saw one man and was moved with compassion. How I thank you, Lord, for your heart. You are long-suffering, you are merciful, you are gracious, you are loving, you are forgiving. And we are so inconsistent and unfaithful to you. God, continue to teach us, we pray. In the blessed name of our Lord Yeshua, and all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, now our guide's going to do a little explanation of